WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Health officials in Massachusetts have confirmed at least 10 cases of botulism connected to a single health spa. It's suspected Rodrigo Beauty in the town of Milton was administering Botox injections without a license. Dr. Todd Ellerin, an infectious disease physician in Boston, says the outbreak could be historic.
I'm not sure that there's ever been more than 10 iatrogenic Botox botulism cases in an individual state in the United States. This is super rare for any state.
Washington, D.C. is gearing up for Saturday's military parade to honor the Army's 250th birthday and President Trump's 79th birthday. Army officials estimate there will be about 200,000 attendees. He was the big nominee and turned out to be the biggest winner of Monday night's 25th annual BET Awards. Kendrick Lamar won in all five categories where he was nominated, including Album of the Year, Best Male Hip Hop Artist, and Video of the Year. This is ABC News. A federal judge has dismissed Justin Baldoni's $400 million countersuit against It Ends With Us co-star Blake Lively and her husband Ryan Reynolds, accusing the two of defamation and extortion. The judge also tossed Baldoni's $250 million lawsuit against the New York Times over reporting of Lively's sexual harassment allegations. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The judge said Baldoni's case was invalid because Lively's initial claims of sexual harassment were legally protected, writing, even if they turn out to be unneeded, an employee can insist on protections at workplace for sexual harassment without being accused of extortion. It all started when Lively filed a complaint alleging Baldoni sexually harassed her and orchestrated a smear campaign after she complained about conditions on the set of the film.
Soul music icon Sly Stone has died. The mastermind behind Sly and the Family Stone was 82. In a statement, his family said he passed away peacefully. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and has and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers move on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers minicamp is underway. After releasing Jair Alexander, that leaves them with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at defensive back. Team president Mark Murphy asked how he feels about that.
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, a great story. He's undrafted. He's an all-pro returner. And, you know, and the reality is, for, like, the last 4 years, Jair's about half of the games he's been able to play. So, you know, kind of we've been used to it.
Baseball. The Brewers play the Braves again tonight at AmFam Field. The Crew losing last night 7-1. Basketball. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Thunder beating the Pacers Sunday to tie the series at one game apiece. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton asked about game 2 being more physical with fewer fouls called.
You know, the officials to, you know, let us play a little bit more, you know, so just got to do a better job. How to be better earlier in games.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have plentiful clouds across the area for the overnight. Light west winds and morning lows in the lower 50s. On Tuesday, though, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine, some wildfire smoke in the sky, gusty west winds, highs in the low to mid 70s. It's 57 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, my big thanks to my co-host this entire afternoon, Matt Rothschild. He's got that fine podcast, Wisconsin Forward. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts. But, of course, at civicmedia.us. We have been talking about, with you, with each other, trying to process what in the hell has been going on. The deployment, the idea that active duty military, not just National Guards men and women, but active duty military are being moved, stationed into Los Angeles, Marines, potentially over a battalion's worth. That's 700 plus Marines to respond to protesters. Wow. And all of this in part being, of course, incited by the Trump administration, this escalation intentional, I think one could argue, as massive protests mobilize across the country in response to mass deportation and immigration raids. Not as Donald Trump promised, we're going to go get the bad guys and the murderers and the people that are destroying property and are really striking fear into the hearts of regular Americans. No, they're not picking up the murderers and the bad guys. They're picking up grandmas and people that have been working here for 25 years and their kids. And that's what's going on. Thousands of protests. And specifically on Friday, the leader of SEIU in California, a gentleman by the name of David Huerta, was apparently beaten down by federal law enforcement. And he has been in custody ever since. So, again, everything seeming to be escalating thanks to the Trump administration. But all of this exists in the larger context of U.S. immigration law. And I think most of us generally understand things aren't working particularly well lately, but we may not know why exactly that is. So Matt and I are extremely grateful to be joined by just the person to help us understand that, Erin Murphy Barbado. She is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Erin, thanks so much for making time and helping us all understand what's going on.
Thanks so much for having me, and I hope I can help us understand what's going on.
we'll give it a good college try, I guess, pun or law school try, right together. Let me just start very seriously, just like Matt and I, and just like all of our listeners watching the news over the weekend, extraordinarily shocking developments. Your reactions on the deployment of the National Guard troops, on this seeming escalation of conflict between the administration and those that disagree with its policies?
Right. I mean, it is shocking, but I can't say I'm not surprised. It seems to be part of a scheme of this administration to certainly invoke drama and bring a highlight to people that are in opposition to ICE and some of the more extremely aggressive tactics that they're doing within our communities. And I think, you know, general population is not prepared to see people being ripped from their homes or from their children. And that's what's starting to happen. And also the power of the state versus the federal government, we're seeing that happen as well. And I can't say we were surprised that that would happen between, you know, President Trump and the governor of California.
Yeah, it seems that he is quite eager when it comes to, quote, blue states or blue cities. Let me start with this term, Aaron, because it gets bandied about a bunch, and no one knows what it means, if anything, in particular. And that is the term sanctuary cities. Is there such a thing as defined in federal law or state law somewhere? Because I've looked, and I can't find a legal definition anywhere for that.
No, Maggie, you're correct. There is no, you know, legal definition of what a sanctuary city is. And certain cities may have, you know, sanctuary policies. Madison often is described as, where I live, a place where there are sanctuary policies, but not necessarily a sanctuary city. But then you look at, you know, LA, California, a lot of the bigger liberal cities will find themselves categorized as sanctuary cities and then targeted by certain people or found to be more safe by certain people. But it's often describing the amount of compliance that local law enforcement will have with immigration customs enforcement, you know, the immigration police. And certain places in Wisconsin have very strong bonds and strong 287G agreements where they work directly together. Madison doesn't have that, but there's a number of places that do have that in Wisconsin. So 287G is defined in the Immigration and Nationality Act, but what a sanctuary city is, it depends on what the person, how they interpret it.
Well, and at a very high level, and then Matt, I'll ask you to jump in if you've got questions. At a very high level, one of the things that I try to point out to folks with some degree of regularity is that it used to be a sort of battle cry of conservatives. States' rights, and this reliance on the 10th Amendment. And one of the things that people have to keep in mind here, aside from the fact that states' rights was simply a dog whistle to all sorts of Jim Crow-style racist, oppressive regimes, was that at the root of it, the idea of the 10th Amendment was that federal government could not effectively take over the apparatuses of state and local government for the purposes of executing federal law. Well, immigration law is federal law. And so if an immigration official says to a local law enforcement official, I don't know, say like a sheriff, and says, you must keep Juan Ramos or Jane Smith or whomever the heck it is in custody until I can get there and figure out if this is someone who's there illegally, that is not permitted under our constitutional order. They cannot compel local law enforcement to hold on to people longer than the state law or state constitutional basis allows for their detainer. Am I getting that mostly right, Aaron?
No, I think you're getting it all right, based on what my, you know, my experience is, my understanding is. And I think when you look at that, you know, 48-hour ICE detainer and whether local officials, sheriff's offices are willing to hold someone past that, we've seen a number of conservative sheriffs say, I cannot do that. It is against the law and I'm not going to break the law. So there's a lot of misinformation, I think, that the public is understanding or not understanding in these situations.
Professor Barbato, you're director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. And so you give advice to law students and to clients, I imagine, about how to handle immigration proceedings. It's getting really dicey right now. So I'm just wondering, what advice are you giving to clients or students who are dealing with clients when these clients have an appointment with ICE on their citizenship status, because some of those folks are getting grabbed by ICE when they walk into the courtroom door. So doesn't that make your job difficult? And how do you counsel people?
You know, it has made my job has always been difficult. Immigration lawyering has never been easy. Teaching law students how to practice immigration or about immigration has never been easy. It's, but practicing it right now, I do worry more than ever about not just our clients or the people we're serving, but about the safety of my students and their mental health as well. We're seeing families torn apart even beyond what we saw under the zero tolerance policy. You know, just today we're talking to a family, a father is going to be deported. 5 U.S. citizen children are going to be left here without their father, but mostly without financial support, you know, and how do I explain that there's nothing else we can do, right? That's really hard. But in terms of preparing for a lot of people we represent are actually in detention. So in the Dodge County Detention Center, they have to show up for court. That's where they are. They're not going to be placed in a more dangerous position because of that. But now that people are being arrested in immigration court and also criminal courts, we really have to be prepared for the idea that they may not be coming out of them. So we're preparing them for the deportation. How is your family going to survive without your mom? Where are these children going to go? Are you going to take the children with you? You know, a re-entry process. It's changed substantially in such a short amount of time that we're not necessarily prepared to do it, but we're doing our best to provide some sort of access to justice and some sort of due process.
Those must be heartbreaking conversations to have with clients, though.
It's beyond. And I've been doing this for 20 years. This is not easy. It's especially not easy telling someone who's gotten to know a client so well that they're going to be deported without being able to access the benefits or the relief that they may be eligible for. But that doesn't mean we'll give up on them. It just means we may be representing them while they're in another country.
Can you, this is what I wanted to get to. I did a substantial amount of pro bono asylum work when I was a young baby lawyer. Boy, is that complicated. And I was hoping that you could explain to people as a threshold matter, and we may need to bridge into the next segment, and we will. What's someone who may be eligible for asylum versus someone granted asylum? Are there different types of asylum? What does it mean to be a refugee? Is that a right. different thing? And what happens if someone comes here illegally? Is there any way to get themselves back into legal resident status, or how is that supposed to work?
So I will try to explain this, but this takes me like a semester to explain to you.
Oh, so just boil it down in about, give or take 2 minutes, Erin.
We'll see how good I am at teaching this. But the first thing I would explain is the difference between a refugee and an asylee. So someone who enters the United States as a refugee, which is on pause right now, they have been defined as a refugee and found to be a refugee by the United Nations. And once the United Nations finds that, then they look for a country to house them. So a refugee is someone who has a fear of persecution or has been persecuted in their home country based on their race, nationality, membership in a particular social group, religion, or I'm forgetting.
Gender, probably. Yes.
That falls into a particular social group. And that's what a lot of, someone who's transgender who can't return to their home country, or someone, if they're a member of a family that is persecuted by the government, something like that. But someone who's seeking asylum needs to prove that in the United States. And so when we look at, I do a lot of work across the Americas and the route that people take to get to the southern border, people are coming to the southern border because they can't get refugee status in the Americas outside of the US. I don't know if that makes sense. So the southern border has become this hotspot for people seeking refuge. And they have to prove that in our system, whether it's through to an immigration judge or an asylum officer with US Department of Homeland Security. One of the major reasons why our southern border has become a hotspot is because the only place people can apply for it.
Because the United States is one of the only nations where you can apply for asylum.
Right.
Is it
you can apply in other countries,
yes.
But we don't have United Nations processing people in the Americas. So they can't stay in their home country or a neighboring country and then come to the U.S. They have to get to the border of the U.S. or inside at an airport, a port of entry.
Understood. Folks, we've got Erin Murphy Barbato. She is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. We're talking about the different types of status in this country and how challenging it is to get your case heard, to provide the requisite proof if you are trying to make an asylum claim, and what to do if you're here already illegally.
There's so much to get through. She's going to stick around. So is Matt Rothschild, my excellent co-host. This 2-hour show, an edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. So keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. More in just a moment.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Drop what you're doing because Appleton has a whole week of fun just for you. Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And you can enjoy an entire week of live local musician performances thanks to the 13th annual Appleton Street Music Week. June 9th through 13th from noon till 1, these musicians are donating their time to raise money to help support and elevate the community. And if you want to be involved, go to wgbw.fm and click events.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Monday. Hope another work day is now through for you. I'm having fun at my job because I'm with each and every one of you and my fine guest co-host. You can find him here every Monday with me, and you can find him on his own fine podcast called Wisconsin Forward. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find that pod at civicmedia.us, Spotify, Apple Pods, and anywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. We are going to open up the phone lines. It's also a gimme. You can talk about whatever you want because Matt and I consume an obnoxious amount of news. We're happy to discuss any or all of it with you. Too much news that is good for our health, most likely. But the topic, the question of the afternoon, because I got into it online with a couple of posters, is about the fact that it's not just ICE, but I'm going to use ICE as shorthand for any and all law enforcement that has been conscripted or otherwise directed from both local, state, and federal law enforcement organizations to execute immigration raids and or arrests. They're showing up without clear insignia denoting what agency they are with, which is usually a really important thing. You know, if some cop kicks your teeth in unnecessarily, I kind of want to know if it's my local PD or like federal ICE officials, or was it somebody from the FBI or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Fire? They're all participating because Donald Trump has been sucking law enforcement agencies into this immigration pushed
and purge since January, and he's requiring more and more resources, which is a whole nother story about how local and state law enforcement is becoming increasingly thinned out and our neighborhoods less safe because resources are being diverted to Donald Trump's warfare on immigrants that help grow our foods, clean our homes and businesses, help teach our children, help take care of our children, and serve in technical occupations like lawyers and engineers, all up and down the income spectrum.
And the stories are heartbreaking, too. There's a woman in Milwaukee who is supposed to be deported tomorrow who's got...
She's a teacher's aide.
She's a teacher's aide. She's got two young twins at home. She's been a model citizen. She was applying for a visa because she was a victim of being trafficked at some point in her life, and they're just going to ship her away. I mean, this is just... These stories, they're just devastating.
It is.
But on the mask thing, Meg, I mean,
yeah.
How do you know the person who's all dressed up with a mask isn't from the Proud Boys or from the Oath Keepers?
Because they all dress alike. This is the problem. And I want to open it up to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Your phone calls will be taken. Your text will be addressed. I wanted to share with all of you some of the comments that I saw on a thread about this, and my response is there too, okay? And both commentators, I think I've got two or three that I actually copied and wrote down because I thought, whoa. Yes, three of them. Interesting to note, all three white men, two of them were our former CEOs, and one of them is a chief information officer. So all white dudes that are former C-suite executives. Okay, just let that sit. But here was the comment from one. Your side is dangerous and unhinged. We saw Antifa protesters at the homes and on the property of Supreme Court justices. These officers deserve to do their jobs and go home to their civilian families. Antifa is able to dox these officers by simply posting their photos on Twitter and asking, if you know who these people are, please tell us. Of course, someone went to school with them or knows them. From the area, who is also against ICE's lawful business, do they deserve an Antifa protest at their house during dinner time? A whole bunch of things there. First, no, someone who does their government job should not fear for their or their family's physical safety if they are executing their government job in good faith, following the Constitution and abiding by their oath, which usually starts with something like, I will uphold all laws and faithfully execute all laws of our nation and state, invoking the Constitution. So all of these officers take an oath that is some version of that, which means the limits of their lawful authority end with the edges of our Constitution. Just something to consider. So the presumption of lawfulness in all areas of law enforcement action is a faulty one. Law enforcement has acted unlawfully in the past. But again, so long as a law enforcement officer is doing their job in good faith, like, no, I don't think they should fear for their safety or the safety of their families. I am not talking about the very real circumstance where they're dealing with violent, well-organized gangs or cartels. That's not what I'm talking about. Where there has been an evidentiary basis for that should be actually reviewed by supervisors, documented, I can see where they would wear face masks. I'm not talking about that. But going to pick up the teacher's aide tomorrow in Milwaukee with her two kids, yeah, don't show up with eight dudes, five squads, all in masks and military tactical gear and scare the heck out of this woman. That's what I'm talking about. That's the place that I don't think the masks are appropriate. I'm going to share with you my response to that comment. I'm going to share my experience as a government official. I have had protesters at my home, so I actually know of whence I speak when I'm talking about this. Have I been a protester? You betcha. Not at somebody's home, but I've taken to the streets. We're going to unpack all this. Matt and I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Matt Rothschild. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Health officials in Massachusetts have confirmed at least 10 cases of botulism connected to a single health spa. It's suspected Rodrigo Beauty in the town of Milton was administering Botox injections without a license. Dr. Todd Ellerin, an infectious disease physician in Boston, says the outbreak could be historic.
I'm not sure that there's ever been more than 10 iatrogenic Botox botulism cases in an individual state in the United States. This is super rare for any state.
Washington, D.C. is gearing up for Saturday's military parade to honor the Army's 250th birthday and President Trump's 79th birthday. Army officials estimate there will be about 200,000 attendees. He was the big nominee and turned out to be the biggest winner of Monday night's 25th annual BET Awards. Kendrick Lamar won in all five categories where he was nominated, including Album of the Year, Best Male Hip Hop Artist, and Video of the Year. This is ABC News.
The Packers move on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers minicamp is underway. After releasing Jaire Alexander, that leaves them with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at defensive back. Team president Mark Murphy asked how he feels about that.
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, a great story. He's undrafted. Yeah. All-pro returner. And the reality is, for like the last 4 years, Jaire, it's about half of the games he's been able to play. So, we've been used to it.
Baseball. The Brewers play the Braves again tonight at AmFam Field. The Crew losing last night 7-1. Basketball. Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night in Indianapolis. The Thunder beating the Pacers Sunday to tie the series at one game apiece. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton asked about game 2 being more physical with fewer fouls called.
The officials said, let us play a little bit more, so just got to do a better job. How to be better earlier in games.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Tonys are in the books, and the big winner from Sunday night's event was Maybe Happy Ending. The production, a love story about two abandoned robots, was named Best Musical and brought in 6 other awards as well. According to Variety, the play struggled to find an audience until the reviews came in. Similar to the moving picture box office, the theater industry seems to be back on track following the pandemic, with $1.89 billion in ticket sales, which is a record. Brendan Jacobs Jenkins became only the 3rd playwright to win Tonys in consecutive years with this year's Purpose, a hilarious look at a civil rights leader's dysfunctional family, which won Best Play. Other highlights from the evening include Succession's Sarah Snook, who was named Best Leading Actress in a Play for The Picture of Dorian Gray. And in sad Tony news that really isn't that sad, George Clooney was a bridesmaid for Best Performance by a Leading Actor in Good Night and Good Luck. Still nice to be nominated, or so I'm told. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll have plentiful clouds across the area for the overnight, light west winds and morning lows in the lower 50s. On Tuesday, though, we'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine, some wildfire smoke in the sky, gusty west winds, highs in the low to mid 70s. It's 57 at our studios.
Mino and the mayor.
DeLorean Walls in the house.
Y'all have been such a powerful platform for so many, including myself, that's bringing so much awareness. And just because the last couple of times I've been on the show, so many people have been asking, how can we help serve? And if we can get that normal, our community is going to flourish even further.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Mayor of Sheboygan, Ryan Sorensen.
If you want strong communities, you need to have strong, quality childcare accessibility in your community. You know, whether you have kiddos or not, it impacts you, whether directly or indirectly. And that's why, you know, being supportive of programs from the state level that can support local agencies is vitally, vitally important. So it's all intertwined.
This is not just for parents of small children.
This is mission critical.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
I'll be slinging drinks at a charity bartending event, but don't worry, you'll be in good hands with special host Angela Lang, joined by Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Maybe you heard a little bit of that crosstalk and you're wondering, what was Maggie Dawn and her co-host on Mondays, Matt Rothschild, talking about during that break that they couldn't contain themselves? If you want to see the secret show behind the show, listen to all of our banter in the breaks. You're going to want to watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel. You can also watch at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram, X, Facebook. I'm forgetting. I'm also on YouTube. Excuse me, on Blue Sky at Maggie Dawn Show. And if you really want to see me spout off on some things, you can check out my LinkedIn, Margaret Dawn, you know, because that's my professional name. Let's pick up right where we left off. We were talking about, and again, big, big thanks to our last special guest, Aaron Barbato, director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Aaron said two things that Matt, as a non-lawyer, which was incredibly helpful on this show, really struck him. One, in Wisconsin, we live in an immigration attorney desert. And the second point that really resonated with Matt is that absent some really extraordinary circumstances and exceptions, if a person is here illegally, there's basically no pathway. There's almost nothing that can be done to get themselves on the right side of their legal citizenship. You're basically screwed. And Matt, we were talking about the challenges of folks trying to be immigration lawyers. One, you have to take, and I don't know this because I practiced in a profit-making capacity, but I had the good fortune to work at a law firm that permitted us to do a lot of pro bono work. And I did a number of asylum cases. And they were very difficult, extremely time-consuming, and took years. And it's very hard for lawyers that practice in immigration to make a living. The stakes are high. It's emotionally draining for them and their clients. But that area of the law is also rife for abuse. You often have clients that don't know how to navigate the systems. They may not speak English. And, oh, and if you blow your client's case terribly, they're just gone. So it's a perfect storm for abuse, and frankly, the fact that there aren't more immigration lawyers is a massive problem.
Yeah, and Maggie, we were also talking during the break about what a bind the immigration lawyer is in right now, because does that if I'm an undocumented immigrant and I've got an appointment at ICE in Milwaukee tomorrow, I'm going to ask my lawyer, should I go, even go? Should I show up? Because if I do, I might get grabbed and sent away and break up my family. And yet you said the lawyer cannot tell them not to go because the lawyer has an obligation to say, you got to follow the law. That's a tough position for the lawyer and the client to be in.
Yeah, there's a lot of those situations that are occurring. Lawyers, when they're doing their job correctly, do not advise clients to break the law. That is not a lawyer operating in good faith. It is a lawyer's job to advise clients of the relative legal risk and other risks that they may face under different scenarios. But a lawyer is never permitted to advise their client to break the law. As we state that cleanly and in those stark of terms, this is a terrible situation that our country is in. And I'm going to put a huge portion of the responsibility for this quagmire, this crisis that we face, at the hands of Congress. And when I talk about Congress being ineffectual, I'm going to look dead at gerrymandering, dead at the Supreme Court that has permitted gerrymandering in such an extreme that it has rendered Congress for many terms to be almost ineffectual. The more gerrymandered a district is, the less incentive there is for a congressperson to get anything done, because an extreme partisan gerrymandering basically locks a seat in permanently. And so if you're not running in competitive races, you're not going to be very responsive to your constituents or your district. And over time, what you see then is an unwillingness to grapple with the most challenging public policy questions of our time, because you get punished if you get it wrong, or you get punished if you seek compromise when your party's leadership is urging you to never seek compromise, to break it all, right? And again, so I look towards the MAGA regime and the precursors thereof for the dysfunction in the immigration system. We need, you know, immigration judges at an exponentially increased clip. We need
and the,
to fund,
the Biden administration almost made that happen until
that.
Trump sabotaged it.
Yes. So I look at the MAGA regime, I look at Donald Trump, and I look at Congress and those that have defended extreme partisan gerrymanders as the architects of this crisis. That's it. That's where the responsibility lies. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you are in the Elkhorn area, if you are at the No More Raids, No More Kidnappings protest that kicked off at 5 p.m. on the corner of Wisconsin and Walrus Streets in Elkhorn, you want to give us an on-the-ground view of that, give us a call or a text, 855-752, 855-75-CIVIC. Other updates in breaking news this hour, California union leader, which helped his, I shouldn't say helped, his arrest by federal law enforcement on Friday at an ICE protest, in part, I think, led to the escalation. He has been released from federal custody on a $50,000 bond. Again, he was arrested during an ICE raid in Los Angeles. He is a citizen. He is a father. And again, he is a citizen. Other breaking, head-scratching news, Israel diverts an aid boat carrying Greta Thunberg, who in a video says she's been, quote, kidnapped. We're trying to find out exactly what's going on there. Again, this is Greta Thunberg, environmental activist, apparently has been diverted in a boat by Israel. We will share more when it's available.
I guess, a little video of that.
What is going on, man?
Was a humanitarian aid to Gaza that Greta Thunberg was on, and Israel raided the and blocked the boat from going in, and I guess now has arrested folks on the boat.
Unbelievable. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Chad from Greenfield, you've been very patient. Thank you. Say hello to Matt. What you got for us?
Hey, sorry if I'm a little tired. I haven't been able to sleep for the past 10 days ever since Cory Booker gave that Nazi salute. I couldn't believe he did such a terrible thing like that. It makes me shake and tremble. But
what Nazi salute are you talking about by Cory Booker? I hadn't really put Cory Booker in the Nazi saluter camp. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it looked exactly what Elon Musk did in your side, so that's a Nazi salute. So I'm just going off your stuff. But the reason...
Wait. I'm sorry. Let's just stick here for a minute, Chad, if we will. You started out accusing the minority leader in the House of Representatives of a Nazi salute. Why do you say that? What are you referring to? What event?
Well,
because that's not what happened, as I understand things.
Oh, I saw it. If you didn't see the video, it's very clear. If you do it, there's plenty of side-by-sides on Twitter, and it's exactly the same motion Elon Musk did. And from what I learned from your side, that's a Nazi salute, so I'm just going on consistency. I don't think it is, but I'm just going off what you guys say. But I'm a little tired.
Wait.
Whatever.
I mean, Chad.
No, whatever. It doesn't work for your narrative.
Wait a minute. You brought it up. I'm asking you a follow-up question about this.
Sure.
You're trying to say my side. Let's be clear, Chad. You're not on the side of Nazis. You don't think Nazi salutes are good, do you?
Oh, no, and I don't think they're good at all, and that's why I'm so disappointed he did it. But I'm just going based on
what you then, if you're disappointed in Cory Booker, you're alleging, again, that he did some kind of Nazi salute, then you would equally slam Elon Musk for same, correct?
Well, I didn't think it was a Nazi salute until you guys said it was, so I'm just going
okay,
off what you
so,
guys
so,
say.
So, I learned a lot Chad.
Now
Chad,
it doesn't work, though.
Chad, do you and I agree that if someone does a salute or some hand gesture that can reasonably be interpreted as a Nazi salute, and it is deeply offensive to people of all backgrounds, but especially Jewish folks, that's not good, right?
Yeah, you're proving my point, because Cory Booker did the same thing Elon Musk did. So,
I haven't looked at what Cory Booker did. I will certainly give it a read. But what I'm asking you is, I think it is a reasonable visual interpretation of what Elon Musk did, that was a Nazi salute. Do you think that is a reasonable interpretation, given what he did not once but twice? The manner in which his facial expression.
I would like to talk about David Huerta, but I will answer your question. I will answer it. I did not think Elon Musk did do a Nazi salute, but until everyone said he did, and then Cory Booker did the same thing, I challenge you.
Chad, I get your point. I'm just asking you to be similarly accountable. If you're saying Cory Booker should be condemned for doing a Nazi salute, and I don't think any of Cory Booker's past, he's never tweeted something anti-Semitical to the best.
Neither has Elon.
Yes, he has, Chad.
Neither
That's Elon. Just simply.
He's tweeted.
He
pro-
supports
Chad.
The far-right neo-Nazi party in Germany. What are you talking
Chad,
about?
Chad, he appeared via video link at the party rally, the national party rally, for a political party in Germany that is associated with the Nazi alt-right in Germany. So, yes, Elon Musk had a very specific, well-documented history of embracing neo-Nazi, alt-right, and anti-Jewish imagery. So that was part of the context when we looked at what Elon Musk did at that rally. Cory Booker, on the other hand, doesn't have that history. But if you want to go on imagery alone, all I'm asking you to do, Chad, to have any validity to what you're saying, is if you think what Cory Booker did was bad, please, right now, I'm giving you an opportunity, Chad from Greenfield, condemn what Elon Musk did.
Oh, I am condemning it because I...
Woo, we got to a point of agreement with Chad. That's amazing. Whew, it only took 5 minutes. Chad from Merrimack, you're up next. What do you got for us? Say hello to Matt.
Hello, Matt. So what do you call it when a masked person comes into your home or your place of business or your church or your school and grabs you without any kind of legal background or reasonable cause, pulls you out, takes you away in an unmarked vehicle, and puts you into a foreign country? Because if that happened, for example, with, say, an Israeli citizen in Israel, they'd call it terrorism.
Yeah, yeah.
Or when it happened in Pinochet's Chile, they called it disappearing, kidnapping and disappearing people. And that's, where we're at here. We have people in our country who are being disappeared, essentially.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate that. Ollie from the Northwoods, you're up. Say hi to Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Ollie.
I just have something to say that it seems like people are giving him, Trump, an excuse, saying that he's trying to sow chaos and stuff, but.
I'm just going to jump in, Ollie. We got limited time left. I'm not providing Donald Trump an excuse. Sowing chaos, inciting increasing levels of violence so that Donald Trump can exert control over the military and set up literally what history tells us is the necessary predicate to a dictatorship. That is control of a large portion of the military. That's what's going on. It ain't an excuse. It ain't a reason. It's just damnedly scary and is one of the indicators that we are through the looking glass.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, tomorrow I'm going to be a guest bartender at a charity event. So I'm really excited and thankful that my current guest co-host, Matt Rothschild, is going to be here with all of you alongside Angela Lang and Dan Schaefer. You will be in fine hands, six of them indeed, for tomorrow's conversation. I'll be back on Wednesday. But Matt, guess who's back on the line? Wants to argue some more. Hey, Chad, I see you called back. I just watched the Cory Booker video. They're not at all similar. Like, not at all, and you know that.
I don't know how they aren't, but that's a different issue. I wanted to ask you about
that Dan Hairston guy. Chad. One is a clear expression of heartfelt togetherness. The other one has an angry billionaire-like boy with an angry face ripping off what is clearly a salute style. The other one's like a half wave. You don't see the difference between the two.
No, it sounds convenient.
Would you put your hand on a Bible? Would you put? Do you believe in God, Chad? Would you put your hand on the Bible and swear to that? You would.
Oh, in a heartbeat. I'll do it.
All right. So tell me right now. I swear to God. I swear to God that I believe those two things are exactly the same. Tell me, Chad. I swear to God, I believe these two things are exactly the same. Do it. Do it on live radio, Chad. Come on.
Are you gonna let me speak or no?
I'm gonna let you swear to God that those two things are the same.
I swear to God that those two things look pretty darn similar to me.
And God help save Chad's soul, his immortal soul. My goodness.
And also, let's remember what Elon Musk said after the controversy raged. He said, I bet you did not see that coming. Nazi, N-A-Z-I.
Yeah.
So, here's a little adolescent fool who toys with
the libs.
Holocaust
fun.
Imagery, Elon Musk, and Chad can't even admit that.
It's different.
You know, Elon Musk is in allegiance with neo-Nazis in Germany.
Just watch the tape from the AFD meeting. That's all I got to say. And from Chippewa Falls, say hello to Matt. What do you have for us this afternoon?
I guess we can all agree on one thing with Chad, is that Donald Trump has done a great job of dividing us. And I'm very fearful, and the rest of the country should be. I was in the service and in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was friends with a lot of different people. And one black man said to me, young man, he said, our next war will be a race war. And I just thought, well, no, that's never going to happen. Well, here we are. And what we're doing to other people, this is scary business, guys. So all those people that want to argue about Musk and Trump and Biden and all that, let's get serious here, guys. This is about our freedom. Anything you do against Trump, you will be arrested.
And it may be Trump today, but maybe it's the guy you disagree with or the gal you disagree with tomorrow, Chad, right? Like, the picture is bigger, and it's actually as much Chad's rights as it is anybody else's rights that those protesters are taken to the streets in defense of. This sort of oligarchical billionaire boys in charge, suppressing the vote, suppressing disagreement, that isn't good for anybody. There seems to be this delusion that has gripped the MAGA regime and its supporters that it's just fine to trample all over our most closely and shared held values because it's my guy, because we're winning. But that's just the con, right? That's the bit. That's the thing that they want people, God bless him, Chad, and good luck with your immortal soul. That's what they want us to do, right? Think of this in terms of black and white or urban and rural. The reality is we all, us regular people, us 90%ers, we have so much more in common with one another than anything that divides us, no matter what Donald Trump and the MAGA regime is trying to tell you this. Here are the things that we have in common right now. We're facing an average tariff rate of nearly 22%. That's the highest since 1909. We are facing each of our households at least $5,000 to our annual grocery bills, courtesy of Donald Trump. We are facing the lowest levels of consumer confidence in our economy for the last 4 years, thanks to Donald Trump. 25, now 50% steel tariffs are going to make houses more expensive. Schooling ain't getting any cheaper. Childcare ain't getting any cheaper, right? None of the things that we all need to work better is any of this happening. And if you happen to be a law enforcement and national security hawk, guess what all these thousands of troops aren't doing? Guess what the thousands of other federal law enforcement that have been pulled off of their important work dealing with drug trafficking or other national security issues are doing now that they're rounding up neighbors and friends who have worked here for decades and paid taxes, right? They're not doing the core work that our nation needs to protect it from our actual enemies, both foreign and domestic. It is a distraction to think it is us and them. The only us and them here are those of us in the 90% versus the billionaire boy oligarchs. That's what's going on. Money ain't speech. Corporations Americans aren't people. And if you don't believe me, $51 trillion. That's the amount of money that has gone from the bottom 90% to the top 1% since 1981. That system ain't working. Everything else is a distraction. Matt, I'm going to give you the last thoughts on the day. We got about a minute.
Well, I just want everyone to oppose these steps toward martial law that we're seeing. I want everybody to support due process and habeas corpus and our Bill of Rights. And I want everybody to protest absolutely nonviolently. We've got to defend our democracy right now. This is the crucial time. And thanks for listening and thanks for calling, everyone.
Great show. Thanks, Matt.
Is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A man convicted of raping and killing a woman 3 decades ago after kidnapping her from a supermarket parking lot in Florida is scheduled to be executed Tuesday. 54-year-old Anthony Wainwright is scheduled to receive a lethal injection at Florida State Prison. He was convicted in the April 1994 killing of 23-year-old Carmen Gayhart, a mother of two young children in Lake City. D.C. leaders say they are coordinating closely with the Secret Service for the U.S. Army Grand Military Parade Saturday. It's a busy summer for the nation's capital. During a news conference Monday, Mayor Muriel Bowser said the city has Pride, the military parade, and the 4th of July all just weeks apart.
Our public safety agencies are going to be called on for lots of work, lots of hours, and we're asking for everybody to heed their advice, everybody to follow their instructions.
This is ABC News.